All right, so today we're going to be tackling a pretty intriguing topic in the New Testament.
Yeah.
We're talking about the concept of two distinct gospels. And I'm not just talking about different interpretations here, but like fundamentally different messages.
Yeah. You know how sometimes you're reading the Bible and you come across passages that just seem to completely contradict each other?
Totally.
That's what we're exploring today.
Exactly. And to help us unpack all this, we're going to be looking at some excerpts from Martin Zender and his newsletter, ZEN, specifically Volume 7, Issue 43.
Okay.
And he calls these two gospels the Gospel of the Circumcision and the Gospel of the Uncircumcision.
All right.
I know the names are a little intense.
Yeah.
But stick with us, because what Zender is getting at here is really fascinating.
It really makes you rethink how you approach the New Testament as a whole.
Yeah, for sure. So let's start with this Gospel of the Circumcision.
Okay.
This one goes all the way back to the promise God made to Abraham that through his descendants, all nations would be blessed.
Right. And that promise led to the creation of the nation of Israel.
Right.
And circumcision was like the physical sign of that covenant with God.
Exactly. So under this gospel, before Jesus arrived, a Jewish person's path to salvation was all about following the law that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai and believing that the Messiah would eventually come.
And after Jesus' time, for those who believed he was the Messiah, it became about acknowledging him as the fulfillment of that prophecy.
Right. It's like that moment in Matthew where Peter declares, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Like,
that's the core belief of this gospel.
It highlights the importance of lineage and fulfilling prophecy in this tradition.
Totally. But then things get really interesting with this Gospel of the Uncircumcision.
Okay.
This is where Paul enters the picture.
Okay.
And as Zender explains it, this gospel emerges after most Jews rejected Jesus as the Messiah.
It's like God hit the pause button on his plan for Israel and decided to share this new gospel with the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people.
And that's where that whole uncircumcision thing comes in, right?
Right.
Because this gospel has nothing to do with being Jewish,
right,
following Mosaic law, or even striving to be perfectly sinless. It's like a radical shift.
And what's fascinating is that the Gospel of the Uncircumcision is all about grace. It's saying that salvation is available to people who, based on their heritage alone, wouldn't be considered worthy.
Wow.
It's offering them a destiny that goes beyond this world, a place in heaven.
So we're not just talking about two different interpretations here, but like two completely different paths to salvation.
Exactly. And Zender really emphasizes that this new gospel completely disregards physical lineage.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about a spiritual rebirth.
So to be clear, under the Gospel of the Circumcision, who you are, like your bloodline matters.
Right.
But in the Gospel of the Uncircumcision, it's about what you believe.
You got it. And that's just the beginning. The differences go even deeper when you look at the specific beliefs associated with each gospel.
Okay. I'm ready to go deeper. Lay it on me.
Well, one of the biggest distinctions is that those following the Gospel of the Uncircumcision believe in Christ's death for their sins.
Okay.
This concept is absolutely central to their faith.
And you're saying that this belief is absent from the Gospel of the Circumcision.
It is. Think about it. For Jewish people of that time, their path to salvation was based on following the law and awaiting the Messiah.
Okay.
The concept of Christ dying for their sins didn't factor in.
But for Paul, it's everything. In fact, he goes on to say that Christ's burial and resurrection are also key to this new gospel. He lays it all out in 1 Corinthians.
And he makes this incredibly bold connection between Christ's death and Adam, the first man.
Wow.
Paul argues that Christ's sacrifice essentially undoes the fall of humanity from grace, like hitting the reset button on our relationship with God. He really gets into the weeds of this in Romans.
So Zender pulls out these two really powerful quotes to highlight the difference.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you have Paul saying in 1 Corinthians, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified."
Right.
He's completely focused on the crucifixion.
And then you contrast that with Peter speaking to a crowd of Jewish people shortly after the crucifixion in Acts.
Yeah.
Peter's message is all about repentance for the act of crucifying Jesus.
It's such a powerful comparison. It really highlights how differently the crucifixion is understood within these two gospels.
It makes you wonder how on earth these two seemingly contradictory messages were circulating at the same time.
And that's exactly what we're going to unpack in part two of this deep dive.
Okay.
But before we go, I'm curious what's sticking out to you so far. Anything making you rethink what you thought you knew?
For me, it's just mind-blowing to think that For some people in the New Testament, believing in Jesus as the Messiah was enough. But for others, it was about his death and resurrection.
Right.
It really adds a whole new layer of complexity to the story.
I'm right there with you. Okay, we'll be back soon to explore how the timing of these gospels plays a crucial role in all of this. Don't go anywhere.
I'll be here. Welcome back. I don't know about you, but
my
head is still spinning a little bit from that last segment.
Yeah, me too. It's like suddenly the New Testament is in 3D.
Right. And what's even crazier is that this whole thing gets even more mind-boggling when you factor in like when each gospel emerged.
Oh.
Timing is really key here.
Okay. I'm all ears. Break it down for me.
Well, as we discussed, the gospel of the circumcision was already in play before Christ's death and resurrection.
Right.
That means people like Abraham, Moses, David, all those Old Testament giants of faith, they could believe and be saved under that gospel.
So even Jesus' own disciples, while they were walking with him, performing miracles, learning from him directly, they couldn't have believed in his death and resurrection for their salvation because it hadn't happened yet.
Exactly. Their belief was rooted in recognizing Jesus as the Messiah, the fulfillment of prophecy. That's what saved them at that point in time.
Okay, now here's where my brain starts to melt a little bit. If membership in the body of Christ is so central to Paul's gospel, which it totally is,
right,
then that means it could only become a thing after Christ's death and resurrection.
Right. So like this whole new category of believer was created after that pivotal event. That's the foundation of everything Paul is preaching.
So then how do we explain what happens with Peter and Cornelius in Acts that happens after the crucifixion? But when Peter's talking to Cornelius, he doesn't mention Christ's death as a requirement for salvation at all.
It's true. He basically reiterates the message of the gospel of the circumcision, focusing on Jesus as the chosen one. So even after the crucifixion, we see these two different messages still circulating, each aimed at a different audience.
It's wild. And that's exactly why Zender gets so fired up about people trying to like blend or harmonize these two gospels. He even uses the word anathema to describe it, which basically means he thinks it's a cursed thing.
He's super passionate about keeping them distinct because he feels that mixing them up creates a distorted message, particularly for those who are called to follow the gospel of the uncircumcision, the Gentiles.
So what's the big deal? Why is he so worried about mixing these two messages?
Well, he's particularly concerned about incorporating teachings from people like Peter, James, and John into Paul's gospel of grace. He sees those teachings as rooted in the gospel of the circumcision, the law lineage, etc., and therefore not applicable to Gentile believers.
So it's like trying to force pieces from two different puzzles together. They just don't fit.
It's a good analogy for Zender diluting Paul's message of grace with elements of law-keeping from the gospel of the circumcision is potentially harmful to the faith of Gentile believers. It's like telling them they need to follow a set of rules that were never meant for them.
You know, this is making me wonder, if we accept that there are these two distinct gospels, does that mean we have to throw out parts of the Bible? Like, should Gentile Christians just ignore the gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
That's a great question, and one that a lot of people struggle with. Zender wouldn't say we should ignore those books, but he'd definitely say we need to read them with an awareness of who they were written for and what message they were trying to convey.
So we need to keep in mind the author, the intended audience, and the historical context basically become biblical detectives.
Exactly. For example, when reading a letter from Paul, we should remember that he's writing primarily to Gentile believers who are called to the gospel of the uncircumcision. His focus is on grace and the transformative power of Christ's death and resurrection.
But when we're reading the Gospels, those were written during a time of transition when the Gospel of the Uncircumcision was just starting to emerge, so they might contain elements of both Gospels, right?
That's a really insightful way to look at it. It helps us understand why there might be some seemingly contradictory messages within the New Testament. It's not that one is right and one is wrong. It's that they're addressing different audiences and different moments in God's unfolding plan.
I've got to say, this is blowing my mind wide open. It's like we've been looking at this incredible tapestry for centuries, but only now are we starting to see the individual threads and how they all weave together.
It's like those magic eye pictures. You have to look at it in a certain way to see the depth, and once you see it, you can't unsee it.
I love that. And speaking of seeing things in a new light, we're going to shift gears a bit in the next part of our deep dive. We've explored the historical and theological differences between these two gospels, but now I want to know, What does this mean for us today? How does this change the way we live our lives and relate to other Christians?
Now we're getting to the heart of it, because understanding these two distinct gospels isn't just an academic exercise. It has real-world implications for how we practice our faith and interact with others.
Don't miss part 3, where we explore how this new understanding can help us build bridges instead of walls within the Christian community. It's going to be good. Welcome back to the Deep Dives. I hope you've had some time to process all this.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we're about to get even more into the nitty-gritty. We've spent the last two parts of this deep dive exploring this idea of two distinct gospels in the New Testament, the gospel of the circumcision and the gospel of the uncircumcision, as presented by Martin Zender. And it's been pretty mind-blowing, to say the least. But now I want to know, like, what does all this mean for us in the 21st century? How does understanding these two gospels actually change the way we live our lives?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
It's all well and good to explore ancient history and theology, but if it doesn't have an impact on our lives today, then what's the point?
Exactly. So let's get practical. If we accept Zender's premise that these two gospels exist, how should that change the way we approach reading the Bible?
Well, I think for starters, it calls for a whole new level of awareness and sensitivity.
Right.
We can't just assume that every verse in the New Testament applies equally to everyone.
Right.
It's like trying to wear a one-size-fits-all garment. It just doesn't work.
So are you saying that, like, if I'm a Gentile Christian, I should primarily focus on the writings of Paul, since he's the main proponent of the gospel of the uncircumcision, with its emphasis on grace and salvation through Christ's death and resurrection?
That's a valid conclusion based on Zender's framework, but it doesn't mean we should completely ignore other parts of the New Testament.
Okay.
It's more about approaching those texts with discernment, understanding that they might be speaking to a different audience or highlighting a different aspect of God's plan.
So it's not about creating like rigid boundaries or throwing out parts of the Bible. It's about being more thoughtful and nuanced in our interpretation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We need to remember that the Bible is a complex and multifaceted collection of writings. Trying to force everything into a single uniform interpretation can actually lead to more confusion than clarity.
And I think this has huge implications for how we interact with other Christians, especially those who come from different theological backgrounds.
Oh, absolutely. Understanding that there are different ways of approaching faith, often rooted in these distinct gospels, can help us build bridges instead of walls.
Yeah.
It allows us to move beyond simplistic labels and engage in more meaningful dialogue.
Instead of judging or dismissing people who hold different views, we can actually learn from them and gain a deeper understanding of God's vast and multifaceted nature.
It's about recognizing the beauty in our differences and letting go of the need to be right all the time.
Mm.
Ultimately, it's about unity, not uniformity.
This whole conversation has been so eye-opening for me. It's like challenged me to rethink some of my own assumptions and approach the Bible with more humility and curiosity.
I feel the same way, and that's what makes deep dives like this so valuable. They help us break free from our echo chambers and engage with the complexity and richness of faith in a whole new way.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the two gospels.
It's been a pleasure.
I think we've all learned a lot, and hopefully you'll walk away with some new insights and questions to ponder on your own faith journey. We'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration.